I wish to express my hearty thanks to you all, in particular to my old friend Paul Roberts, and to our project leader, Dr. Steve Tobias, for letting me join to this fascinating research project on dynamo theory, and to give here 1 hour's talk on a new approach for turbulence. I shall do my best for fulfilling this very ambitious title of my talk. As you know, turbulence is always old and new problem. Historically speaking, systematic research on turbulence has been initiated by Osborne Reynolds, who left the more than 100 years ago. Osborne left the notion of Reynolds number and also Reynolds stress. And after him, the research has been succeeded by big names in fluid dynamics. For instance, Ludwig Franto, who left the notion of boundary layer, lamina and turbulent, and Theodor von Karman, who left several similarity laws, and G.I. Taylor, who initiated statistical theory of turbulence, and in particular, notion of homogeneous isotropic turbulence, to which my present talk is mostly concerned. However, I think in the late 1930s, the statistical theory of turbulence seems to have been in a state of stalemate. I think it is because people didn't know how to evaluate the higher order term in the nonlinear equation for the velocity correlation function, like the Kármán-Howard equation. So, that was the common difficulty which we encounter in the quasi-linear approach to the nonlinear problem. And this difficulty has been broken by epoch-making work by Kolmogorov in 1941. The Kolmogorov proposed the idea of locally isotropic turbulence. The locally isotropic turbulence is near to homogeneous isotropic turbulence, the ingredient is considerably different. And locally isotropic turbulence, the small scale components of turbulence is supposed to be independent from the large scale energy containing, the so-called energy containing components of turbulence. In that way, Kolmogorov has broken the bad hierarchy in the nonlinear problem. Actually, the effect of that epoch-making work of Kolmogorov has been so great that the progresses in the theory of turbulence during the half a century after the World War II its success entirely to this revolutionary breakthrough by Kolmogorov. Yes, but more recently, however, the statistical theory of turbulence seems to have become in another stage of stalemate. Then, what is another stalemate? No one denies that a large amount of variable knowledge on turbulence has been accumulated during this half a century, but such accumulation of knowledge seems to be lacking of physical backbone and also theoretical unity, theoretical entity. It is my personal opinion. Then why is this? I think the reason is that people have generally ignored the importance of the probability distribution function, the PDF in short, PDF of the turbulent velocity. Of course, there exists the fundamental equation for the probability of this velocity distribution functional by obtained by Eberhard Hoppe in 1952. Yes, but since this equation is functional, the functional equation, and we have no general mathematical method for solving such functional equation, so people, including myself, of course, put this equation, Hoppe's equation, to the altar of Pantheon, not for practical use. And also, there exists another equivalent system of equations, that is an infinite set of equations for the multi-point velocity distributions obtained by Lundgren and Monin in 1967, independently with each other. But there again we encounter the difficulty of unclosedness of the equations. Since any equation for a certain order, it includes the higher order velocity distribution as a new unknown. Then how to solve this problem? Here I would like to close my introduction. And this is the title of my talk, which I prepared in the recent meeting, which took place in Baltimore. Yes, excuse me, Baltimore. That was the meeting in celebration of 60th birthday of Srinivasan, and I gave not by talk. Yes. And so let me use the old-fashioned machine. No, old-fashioned paper. Not the contents of paper. We consider the fluid turbulence in incompressible viscous fluid with density, constant density, rho, and constant viscosity, mu, and kinetic viscosity, mu. And the flow variables, we have velocity, velocity vector u at a point x and time t, and also pressure scalar P at the point x and time t. Equation of motion, the so-called Navier-Stokes equation, du dt, u d, d dx u, and dp dx, and nu. This nu must be included here, the Laplacian nu, very well-known equation. And also equation of continuity and for incompressible fluid, just divergence free condition. And then we have to deal with statistics of turbulence. So therefore, U, turbulent velocity U is dealt with as a probability variable V. So therefore, in this talk, this V and U are the same thing. And as I told you, the Hopf equation exists for the velocity distribution functional. But since this is functional equation, people doesn't touch, don't touch to this equation. But the important thing is that in this paper, Hopf derived the Gaussian distribution as a particular solution for implicit limit. This is important. And again, here is the Lundgren-Morning system of equations I mentioned, the equation for multi-point velocity distributions. And there exists the difficulty I mentioned in my introduction. Just ignore this one. I will come here later. And the physical difficulty is the unclosedness of Lundgren-Morning equations. In the equation for the one-point velocity distribution, if there appear two-point velocity distribution. And in the equation for two-point velocity distribution, there appear three-point velocity distribution. In that way, the system of equation is not closed. And the most popular approximation for closing such system of equation is quasi-normal approximation. That means that two-point velocity distribution is expressed as the product of one-point velocity distribution for those two points. And this expression is exactly valid if one-point distribution is exactly Gaussian. Yes, but since this relationship is used for not necessarily exactly Gaussian distribution, so this is approximation. And it is known, well known, that this expression is good for large distance of these two points. Since for large distance, these two-point distribution becomes independent with each other. So therefore, this is good in this case. But definitely not for short distance, because in that short distance, this V1 and V2 becomes closely correlated. So therefore, joint distribution cannot be expressed as a product. Then let me express my idea. My idea is to take actually, I have proposed this idea about 10 years ago now. And Yeah, here are the, we consider two point velocities. And the R is the distance of two points. Then instead of taking these two point velocities, let us consider their sum, U1 plus U2, sum under the, this factor just for our convenience. And this is expressed U plus. And also difference between these two, U2 minus U1. This is again expressed U1. Then the consider two point velocity distribution. F2 is a joint distribution of V1 and V2, and G2 is a joint velocity correlation of V plus and V minus. But these two are equivalent with each other. We are looking the same thing from different points. So these two are equivalent with each other. And this factor comes only from Jacobian for F and G. And for this velocity sum and velocity difference, I call these two as cross velocities. And in this case, I propose two-point velocity distribution with respect to V plus and V minus can be expressed as a product of one velocity distribution for V plus and one velocity distribution for V minus. So therefore, the form is so, therefore, form is quite same to this ordinary independence relationship. And here, I propose not ordinary, but for cross velocities, independence for cross velocities. And it can be shown that this relation is, unlike this relation, good for both large and small distances. And that this is the identity which shows even if X and Y are correlated closely with each other, the cross velocities are independent, mutually independent. Yes, and also I'll show you some intuitive expression. If you consider V1 and V2, two velocity components, and if V1 and V2 are not correlated, their joint distribution may be circular around this point. Yes, but if these two are correlated closely, the distribution comes along this line. This line is V1 equals V2 along this line. So I saw value line of distribution comes like this. So this is a closely related relationship. But just the turn the coordinate axis, and this is the axis for V plus, and this is axis for B minor just by turning coordinate axis. And in this case, such distribution is no correlation at all symmetric. So this is intuitional justification only. Yes, and also we have experimental justification. This is a measurement made by Srinivasan. That is why I went to party symposium on in celebration of 60th birthday of Srinivasan. This was published a little more than 10 years ago, and the ordinate gives the variance of velocity difference, and how to call this? The horizontal variable is velocity sum, and these points correspond to fixed distance. Eta is Kolmogorov's length, so distance over eta is 7, 10, 17, 30. So therefore, this belongs to viscous subrange and partly inertial subrange. So anyway, for short distance of eta, and here the points are almost horizontal. That means the variance of velocity difference is independent from velocity sum. And that independence becomes a little worse for increasing distance. But fortunately enough, in the present system for the velocity distribution, higher order distribution appears only as in the limit of small distance concerned with the higher wave number, higher velocity distribution. So therefore, this is experimental justification for the present assumption. So now I skip the mathematical process. We apply this approximation. We apply the cross independence hypothesis to Lundgren Mohning system of equations and obtain closed equation. In this case, I consider one point velocity distribution and two point velocity distribution in Lundgren Mohning system of equation and substitute. Then I obtain the equations for one point velocity distribution and also velocity sum the these F2 is the ordinary two-point velocity distribution, and F is one-point velocity distribution. But in this case, two-point velocity distribution is expressed as G2, and one velocity distribution, not one point, even the one velocity depends upon 2 points in this case. So g plus is one point velocity distribution is g plus and g minus. And substitute this relationship to the Lundgren-Mooney equation. And the result, and these equations are of course closed. And we solve that equation and obtain this is the result. As you will see, this is a 1 point velocity distribution. If 1 point velocity distribution is expressed in terms of Gaussian normal distribution, and you may think the normal distribution is not strange. The normal distribution appears in Bachelard's book. Yes, in Bachelard's book, of course, normal distribution appears at low Reynolds number. At low Reynolds number, the nonlinearity of Navier-Stokes equation vanishes. So therefore, components are linear. So therefore, the sum of large number of random variables obey Gaussian distribution. That is the so-called central limit theorem. Thank you very much. Central limit theorem. Yes, but in this case, we deal with entirely different limit. This is not raw Reynolds number, but the limit of vanishing viscosity. That means very high Reynolds number. And the parameter alpha is related with exactly energy dissipation rate. So energy dissipation, this distribution includes only energy dissipation rate and no viscosity. And I think we are concerned with this limit that I omitted, I skipped before. In the implicit limit, this derivative becomes infinity. So therefore, the epsilon is ordinary energy dissipation rate. In this energy dissipation rate, nu the viscosity tends to zero, and this derivative tends to infinity. So this is actually indefinite. But in reality, this tends to a constant, non-zero constant. And I think this result is not shown mathematically, but supported by numerical computation. Yes, and also in many other cases, and such limit is called in this catastrophe. I forgot to give that name. In this catastrophe. Anyway, in this the in this limit, energy dissipation rate tend to a constant, non-zero constant, and So the mathematically speaking, this is nothing but an assumption, but this is supported experimentally and by many other cases. So let me introduce rather recent result. This shows the result of numerical computation, not laboratory experiment. Reynolds number, and this is the same to epsilon, energy dissipation rate. And for small Reynolds, R lambda is the lambda Taylor microscale, I think. And if the Reynolds number, R lambda is below 200, the dissipation decreases, rapidly decreases with increasing Reynolds number. But beyond this 200, it seems to reach constant. And the recent experiment, numerical calculation about R lambda 800 here, and the more recent measurement in 1200 seems to be constant. That actually support the implicit catastrophe and the constancy of epsilon with respect to viscosity or Reynolds number. So I think that this is the situation in which my calculation, my theory is based. And the velocity distribution, this velocity distribution was the Gaussian, I said, and the parameter is equivalent to energy dissipation rate, which is constant. As strictly homogeneous isotropic turbulence has no energy source. If you introduce any energy source, that destroys the homogeneity. So therefore, strictly homogeneous science is decaying. And in this case, my solution decays as t to minus 1, that inverse proportionally to time. And another important thing is that this parameter energy dissipation rate is expressed as the integral with respect to g minus. And you know, according to Kolmogorov's theory, g minus is the distribution of velocity difference. And the velocity difference is contributed from small scale component of turbulence. So therefore, this means that dissipation is expressed as a total action of small-scale eddies, small-scale fluctuation. And this is a so-called fluctuation-dissipation theorem in non-equilibrium statistical mechanics. So therefore, this result is justified physically here and mathematically here. And then the how's about the velocity sum and the velocity difference? The strange, ostensibly strange enough, these two, g plus and g minus, obeys the same distribution function. That is again Gaussian distribution. But variance is half. The alpha zero is the variance for this. Here, the alpha zero by two. Variance is just half. And this corresponds to this, velocity sum distribution, and velocity difference distribution is expressed just product of one point velocity distribution. And yes. So since this solution does not depend upon the distance, this result is applies for all values of R. But you may take it strange because in the limit of zero distance, the velocity sum must become equivalent to either V1 and V2 because it is arithmetic mean. So therefore, the distribution of velocity sum must become equivalent to F1, one point velocity distribution. Yes, but there is no freedom for doing such kind of this one. And also for the velocity different distribution, in the limit of vanishing distance, velocity difference must become to zero. So therefore, the distribution must become to delta function distribution. And also, this expression has no power of adjusting this relationship. So therefore, we must say for all non-zero value of R, this expression is correct. And at the limit of vanishing distance, G plus change discontinuously to one point velocity distribution. And G minus change discontinuously to delta function, delta distribution. But you may strange such discontinuous distribution. And this comes from the property of the inertial normal distribution. That is, viscosity is not included in both. So therefore, if we consider viscosity, finite value of viscosity, this change must become continuously. So the next target, the next step is to work out for very small, viscosity. And in this very small viscosity, that is to enlarge the very small value of R here to finite value. That is done by considering, by dividing all length scale by Kolmogorov's length, eta. So this is that range is, according to Kolmogorov's terminology, local equilibrium range, local range. And the ordinary space we examined before this one is maybe called outer space or external space. And this is the local equilibrium range. And the governing parameter is again energy dissipation rate and viscosity. And as a local variable, we consider coordinate divided by this Kolmogorov's length. And the time divided by Kolmogorov's time. And this notation is notation are given by star asterisk. And then how is about the velocity sum distribution in this range? Again, this is expressed in terms of Gaussian distribution. But in this case, parameter alpha for G plus parameter alpha plus is now function of R. And in this way, we can replace this continuous change by continuous change in R star. And since this alpha is related with energy, the energy dissipation rate, and this energy dissipation rate is R star, the function of R star, and this is called self-energy dissipation. And the energy itself is self-energy. But this is only the problem of terminology. Then I can express this situation like this. Oh, I have already, so. Yes, but the substantial part I have already told. So this is the result. Now this is the diagram of the variance of the the 1 point velocity and the velocity sum distribution and the velocity difference distribution. And the horizontal axis is R star, that is R over Kolmogorov length. And since the viscosity is not zero, finite, so we have finite range of local range. Maybe the boundary is here. And this gives the variance. And for 1 point velocity distribution, the 1 point velocity distribution corresponds to R star tend to zero. And here we take this as standard. So therefore, everything is divided by epsilon here for 1 point velocity distribution. And this one corresponds to velocity sum distribution, G plus. And this corresponds to velocity difference distribution. And as you see, these two are just mirror image, exactly, must be, it can be shown. Mirror image concerning the half point. And with increasing distance, the variance of velocity sum distribution decreases from this value to half a value. And from here, behavior stops. And since this behavior belongs to local range, and here local range stops and ends, and outer space begins. So in outer space, for velocity plus distribution and velocity minus distribution, these are only one half, both one half. And therefore, velocity difference distribution, it starts from zero, corresponding to delta distribution, and increase with R star, and come to this, and this behavior end, and change to this one. So if you take viscosity 10 to zero, this point comes. Yes. So therefore, the G plus and G minus, the variance of G plus and G minus are always one half, and here jump to 1.0 and zero. So therefore, this explains the actual situation in the local range. And a friend of mine named Makita made such measurement, and as you will see, quite similar. Yes, but since his work is laboratory experiment at relatively low Reynolds number, so therefore yes, but general trend is just the same. And this, the black point, the variance of velocity plus, and this is variance of velocity minus, and this is the product of cross product of G plus and G minus, always zero. And you know, since I have no time, I skip. So, in conclusion, I can say that this is the result concerning homogeneous isotropic turbulence. And in homogeneous isotropic turbulence, everything is described by triplet, one velocity distribution F, velocity sum distribution G plus, and the velocity difference distribution G minus. This triple set is necessary and sufficient for describing the homogeneous turbulence exactly. So here I do not require any other fancy assumption or approximation. And the same thing can be extended to inhomogeneous turbulence. And inhomogeneous turbulence, as you know, we have the mean flow. So in that case, the mean flow, and also one point turbulent velocity distribution, the velocity sum of turbulent velocity distribution, again G plus, and velocity difference of turbulent velocity distribution G minus. So mean flow and 1 point velocity distribution and velocity plus and velocity minus. That in this case quartet of distribution are sufficient for describing all inhomogeneous turbulence, including every kind of shear flow. And in my formulation, we need no large dissimulation, K epsilon, and, no any other fancy distribution, turbulent viscosity, no. So we can construct in that way, in that only assumption is the cross independent assumption. So I think I shall begin the work on inhomogeneous turbulence from now. So therefore I think I'm very optimistic in the future of my work. So thank you very much.
So the independence, the cross independence, is assumption or is you approve?
It is assumption. You know, it is assumption or hypothesis. You mean approximation, assumption or hypothesis? Very good. Yes, and but that assumption has been proved to be valid in the limit of zero viscosity. So therefore, in that sense, and also I need that approximation only for the limit of vanishing viscosity. So in that sense, exact relationship. In that sense, exact. In that sense, exact, I mean, that hypothesis is supported perfectly by numerical experiment and also laboratory experiment and also consideration, the mathematical consideration of the limit. So, again, I have to say this is just like Kolmogorov's hypothesis. Yeah, he proposed such and such hypothesis that actually, although mathematically is not yet proved, but it is very likely to be proved. Yeah.
This may be an unfair question, but for
MHD
terms, where everything...
Oh, MHD, yes.
Everything is very non-normal. All PDFs are very highly non-normal.
Excuse me. Since I have no time, the ordinary turbulence is also famous for non-normality. Yeah. According to my case, I said the one-point velocity distribution, velocity sum, and the velocity difference. But in the velocity difference distribution, in local range, the distribution is not isotropic, the velocity difference. And it is axisymmetric with respect to difference vector. And it has longitudinal velocity difference. And also lateral velocity difference distribution. And according to my theory, up to lateral velocity distribution, it is again normal. But hard point is longitudinal velocity distribution. And actually, as you see by Frisch's paper or any other work, existing work, non-normality is reported or concluded in longitudinal. And the longitudinal velocity distribution, although I haven't shown, by numerical computation, I obtained non-normal distribution. Non-normal. So, I can show you later, maybe. Non-normal distribution. Asymmetric non-normal distribution. But I confess that this is, I'm not very sure, so I'm writing another paper for this, but no normal distribution. Oh, it is strange. Maybe. Here. This is a longitudinal velocity difference distribution in viscous sublanes. And the beyond this, you know, here, asymmetry. Yeah, asymmetry. And also, the tail is algebraic. This is the variable minus five power. So therefore, higher order moment doesn't exist. So this is a non-normal distribution for longitudinal velocity difference distribution in the local range. In the outer space, this become again normal. Yes, and I have another one for inertial sub-range. Yes, but similar one.
That is two-thirds
Kolmogorov,
two-thirds.
Oh, yes. Kolmogorov's two-thirds come out in some sense. In some part. But you know, you are all believe in Kolmogorov's theory altogether. But you should know his theory is approximate theory again. Approximately, he uses two assumptions, which is not not self consistent. For instance, he assumes temporary steadiness for small scale turbulence. And that may be okay for many cases, but in this purely homogeneous case, even that component cannot be stationary. So in that way, his theory is very interesting and applies to almost all cases. But if you apply, argue exactly, it becomes self-contradictory.
You cannot have a source to maintain ourselves to be a random source. You could have a random source.
Random source?
Yes, a random source that's long wavelength. Kind of random forcing.
Random forcing, huh?
Yeah.
The random forcing is is applied in the outermost part of turbulence.
Yeah.
So by supposing outermost term, it is not homogeneous.
But you could make
anisotropic.
You could make the forcing
anisotropic. No, it is not possible. How? In magnetic case, you may be able to.
But many simulations assume random.
But not physical.
Well, not physical. But then
maybe you have to distribute many particles and apply force particles. In that way, you can stimulate. But.
What do you mean? Not physically, you can't do an experiment with random forcing. This is true.
I should say all external excitation of turbulence, all forced turbulence, numerical or laboratory experimental, those all violate.
Of course.
So if you can imagine the purely homogeneous way of excitation. Please show.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. You're a box, so therefore it's not allowed to drop.
You know. Yeah. I have begun to extend my study to inhomogeneous turbulence. Yeah. And in that inhomogeneous turbulence, I can include box turbulence with excitation outside. And by considering that way, I can say in that way that is okay or that is not okay.
But then also you do not have isotropy. Isotropy may be gradually.
So therefore I say.
If you let me say something too.
This is a homogeneous isotropy, but I can say I'm extending to inhomogeneous, so therefore inhomogeneous non-isotropic case. So okay?
So, no, not okay, because what I mean is something different.
You are,
what I mean is something different, that when you have a system like this and you look at the cascade process, the turbulence gets increasingly isotropic. So
only by words you can say.
It's also seen in numerical work and also in experiments.
Numerical work violates. Such numerical work or experiment violates homogeneity.
So therefore,
if you can introduce homogeneous way.
No, I'm telling you, what happens is that it develops some
cascade process. So let me continue in my room, in your room.
As you like, yes. Well, any more questions on this? Oh, it's been a very entertaining lecture. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for your attention. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The coffee.